The rest of us, we're going to start diving into the message here this morning. I hope you came kind of hungry for a word from the Lord. When I started out with this message, I really wanted to go down. It's Valentine's Day on Tuesday, right? You know, so don't forget, guys. You want to express your love. You know, your spouse, of course. And I really want to focus on the love of God, just how awesome it is, the many expressions of God's love. And I know Barb shared a word this morning, that the Lord gave her on the way in. And I really was fighting with the Lord because I wanted to go that route, but he had me go a slightly different route. And it kind of reminded me, anybody ever see the movie series of Unfortunate Events? It starts out with like the cute little bunny. And it's like, if you came to watch a movie like this, I'm sorry, but that's just not the right place. The word the Lord gave me this morning, it's a good one. It's a good one. Let's just be patient with the Lord and see what he has for us here, All right, so this morning we're continuing this message series entitled Understand. We're learning just how powerful and how critical it is for us to have an understanding of God, of course, an understanding of each other, and an understanding of the people around us, the world around us. We know just how devastating it can be, just a simple misunderstanding. One simple misunderstanding can set the course of your life. And so, the Lord, of course, doesn't want us to suffer from misunderstanding, but rather to truly understand each other, to truly understand him. And he's given us tools for that purpose. We learned so far to truly understand each other, it requires humility. So, to lay down ourselves, literally. First of all, not to assume that we know what someone else is thinking or what they're feeling or why they did what they did. And on the second part, to not assume that other people understand us. To actually use our words and express how we're feeling, Not assume that the other person should just know better. That we're the only ones that knows what's happening inside of us. Last week we learned about how God is our protector. We started kind of diving into understanding God a little bit better. That constant attribute that never changes, that he is our protector. Yet why there are seasons when we don't understand, when we don't experience that protection, when he removes his wing over us and allows us to fight the battles, of life, and that call to just rise up, you're a mighty warrior. And if God is allowing you to fight this battle, then you are more than equipped, more than ready for it, and he's going to see you through it. I mean, he's not going to let his word and his promises, not be realized. And so this week we're going to dive into another time when it can be difficult to understand God. Because, in the situation we talked about last week, we wonder, why? Why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? You're my refuge, my strength, my defender. Why are you allowing this season of warfare? This week we're going to try to understand a little more about why God allows us to experience another difficult time. This struggle that we're going to talk about this morning, it's revealed by the fact that God is both patient and gracious, as well as just and righteous. It's a paradox that exists within God, that he is all those things. It becomes frustrating for us because, there are seasons in our life when we deserve, right? Life is not fair. Let's just start with that fact. And I love it's Marie who gave me that kind of quote. She's not here this morning. That's right. We should praise God that life's not fair, because if it was, we'd all be going to hell with no hope, no hope for redemption at all. So I'm sure Jason heard that all the time growing up, he should be happy that life's not fair. But there's this paradox, because we want the grace and the mercy of God. We want his patience, whenever we deserve his wrath. But boy, whenever life's not fair and he's being gracious and patient with somebody that we feel deserves the wrath of God, we have a hard time, enduring those seasons. And that's kind of what we're talking about this morning, this paradox that exists within God, understanding how God prospers us. Prosperity, it's one of the probably most misunderstood and mistaught things in the church today. And so we're going to take a look at that a little bit this morning about how God prospers us, because it can become frustrating when he chooses not to do so, especially when there's times in life when when we try our absolute hardest to do what is right, to honor God in every area of our lives. You know, we live with integrity and honesty. We treat others, you know, fairly. We literally treat people we want to be, the way we would want to be treated. We love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I mean, everything that Jesus told us that we need to do, you know. However, our lives are often filled with hardship and struggles. And you're doing your best. You're living your life the way that God desires you to live. And yet you find yourself suffering as a result. You know, I love there's a picture floating around out in social media. You know, it's a picture. It's from a The Passion of the Christ. You know, most of us have seen it. Mel Gibson sitting with Jesus while he's all bloody and gory and everything, you know. And Mel's like explaining something to him, you know. And it's like... That's you when you're telling Jesus about how difficult your life is right now, you know. Kind of gives you a perspective change. But no, honestly, we experience those seasons in life, you know. It seems like you make one unintentional mistake, and man, life just comes down hard on you, you know. I mean, harder than you feel that you deserve. It seems like no matter how hard you try to get things right, life just doesn't go your way. You just can't get ahead. I mean, anybody ever... frustratingly suffered through that. However, there are those people out there who they lie, they steal, they cheat, they do whatever they have to do to get ahead in life, and they seem to always get away with it. They prosper at every turn, no matter what they do, despite the wicked way in which they live. They seem to get promoted and blessed when we get mistreated and cursed. You know, and we cry out to God, you know, why? Why, oh God? We cry out to God for his justice. We cry out to God for his deliverance from our struggles. And yet it honestly, sincerely feels like our prayers are falling on deaf ears. You know, it's a frustrating area of life, and many of us have experienced it, right? I mean, most all of us here have experienced that in one way or another in life, when it just feels like life is not fair. You know, you are trying to live righteously, and you feel cursed for it. And there are people that could care less about God and his word and his principles, and yet they seem to just prosper at every turn. So this morning, we're going to choose to, of course, turn to the word of God for the answer to this. Why, God? I believe that God is a God who, he doesn't hide things from us, right? He wants to reveal truth to us. He wants to reveal why things are like that in life. And you may be, you know, I feel like God gave us this message this morning because some of us are there in life right now. So if that's you, let's, you know, hang in there and find out why this might be happening or how we're to respond in these situations. And so we're going to take a look at a man of God who experienced the same frustration in life. This man was a chief priest who led worship to the Lord regularly. That was his calling in life. That was his job. Every day he's there in the temple leading worship to the Lord. In fact, his legacy endured because it was a generational calling. Many of his descendants for many, many, many generations filled that same role. They were the worship leader. They were the guy to go to, you know, for any kind of service in the temple. To lead worship and to bring people into God's presence. This man was Asaph, and he can well relate as he experienced the same time, the same season in life when it's difficult to understand God. Now, this is a guy chosen to lead people into God's presence, you know, literally, you know, in the temple there. And yet he had some frustrations, and he honestly recorded those. Praise be to God, you know. Yeah, sometimes we get this misunderstanding that to be a Christian means that life just has to go hunky-dory for you and you always got to have a smile on your face, right? It's not the reality. Open your scriptures. You know, faithful men and women of God were ones who were honest about their struggles. God, why? I don't understand what's going on, why this is happening. You know, being honest about your feelings and your emotions and bringing them to God. And they're written in the Word of God for us to read forever and ever. You know, Asaph had the same difficult time, and he wrote a psalm about it, which can help us to understand how we ought to respond in this situation of life. And he wrote, you know, his frustrations and his experiences to help us whenever we face these same difficult times. And we can find these if you want to turn with me to Psalm 73. This is one of the psalms that Asaph wrote, and I'm just going to read through it. He starts with this reminder, okay? We got to remember who God is, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Right? That's the awesome thing about God. He is so not like us, because what I feel today 10 minutes from now, I'm going to feel differently. I'm going to have a whole different perspective, a whole different opinion towards the thing. God's not like that. He does not change. So he starts with this reminder. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And really, that's what that is, being pure in heart, right? Wanting to live to honor God, wanting to treat people fairly, wanting to live a good life. That's being pure in heart. So he's saying, surely God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and they clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff. They speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. They're always carefree, and they go on amassing wealth. Can you guys think of anybody who fits that description? Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever they have to get ahead, and it seems like things are good for them. You know, man, I shake hands with somebody that's got the flu, and boom, I got it. You know, it's like, come on, why is life this way? It doesn't, you know. And he goes on, in verse 13, and some of you probably have felt this way. He says, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure, and I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, can you imagine if you say, God's not going to know. Who is he? Who does he think he is? He has no idea what we're doing. Let's just keep going on. Anybody ever have friends like that growing up? You know, your mom will never know. Come on, you know, that's dangerous company. Bad company corrupts good character. Another message for another time. But that's what these people were like. And he's saying, if I'd spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. Remember the position he's in, you know. He's got people looking up to him. If I had spoken like that, I'd betrayed, not just, you kind of read between the lines there. Not only would he be betrayed God and betrayed himself and his character and integrity, but he would have betrayed all the children of Israel. He said, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Right? He didn't understand. He got frustrated. He envied them. It said in verse 17, and here's the key, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. And it's all about their final destiny. Their final destiny. In verse 18, he goes on and he got sort of a perspective shift here. And he said, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed? Completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. He's being honest before the Lord. Who was I to think that way? An arrogant beast thinking that I should envy those people who act that way. He goes on in verse 23, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Amen. From glory to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Somebody write a song with those lines there. That's a good line right there. That's a song waiting to happen. Get on it, Jason. In verse 26, actually, I think there's already a song with this whole line in it. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Do you see this perspective change? I'm going to enter into eternal glory. The Lord's always with me. He's always for me. And afterward, things are going to be awesome. In verse 27, those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Amen. Just like we learned last week, you know, making him our refuge, our strength, dwelling in the refuge of the Lord Most High. Just because you choose the Lord as your dwelling place, just because you choose to walk in the Spirit through life, does not mean that you're not going to experience difficulties and hardships. Jesus literally said, in this life you will have trouble. Take a look at his life as an example. He never sinned, never did anything wrong, never once stepped outside of the will of his heavenly Father. And yet look at the troubles that he faced. Look at the way he was mistreated. And I'm not just talking about the cross. I'm talking, look through his life. It was not easy. There were difficult times. But he knew it was going to be worth it. It was going to be worth it. You know, it's so easy to get overwhelmed and consumed by the temporary troubles that we face. Paul called them light and momentary. And he faced troubles far beyond what I've ever faced in my life. But to keep that eternal focus, that if I am faithful to do my part, no matter what happens to me in this life, God's going to set it all right in the end, right? You know, so whenever we feel like we're keeping ourselves pure in vain, whenever we feel that every day is afflicted and that every morning brings new punishment, when our spirits become embittered, when our hearts are grieved by the prosperity of the wicked, there is one place for us to turn, and that's the same place that Asaph turned to. Get into the presence of God. Enter into his sanctuary. We are told to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's where we need to go. Because if we don't go there, if we don't keep our anchor there, into the Holy of Holies, you know, our anchor being Christ Jesus himself, if we don't stay there, we're going to become embittered. We're going to lose hearts. We're going to ask, what's the point? Why even be faithful to God? Why even serve him? What does it matter? Our faith is going to be stolen away if we don't keep ourselves rooted in Christ alone. But the good news is that not only do we have the opportunity to enter into the Lord's presence, Jesus died and rose again for a purpose beyond freeing us of our sins and, you know, making us righteous and holy. He said that unless he went, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. We carry the presence of God. Asaph was able to enter into the sanctuary, you know, and to enter into the presence of God. We carry the presence of God. So in an instant, whenever you start feeling that way, whenever you start envying the wicked who are prospering, whenever it seems like life is just not going well for you at all, you can just internally be like, okay, Lord, lift me up here. I need an encouraging word. I need you right now. And he will give us that eternal focus. Because the reality is, and the truth is, and what makes this situation even possible, is that the Lord is patient. He's patient, as we said earlier. God is patient with everyone, not wanting anyone to perish. He actually loves the wicked people who are prospering at your cost. He's not happy about it. He's not happy about their choices, but he loves them. He gave his life for them. That means for a temporary season, justice may appear to be a bit off balance. You're not experiencing the just side of God. Wickedness may appear to prosper, and righteousness may appear to suffer. However, there is a day coming when all things are going to be set straight. Everything is going to be made right. There's coming a day when our integrity that we chose to live with in life will earn us a reward that can never be stolen, will never fade away. And I cringe hearing my own words. These words, it's going to be worth it someday. God's going to make it right in the end. I cringe too. My flesh doesn't like that. I want it now. And the Lord will give it to us now at times. He will prosper us for seasons because of our integrity and because of our blessing. But we've just got to trust in him. That whether it's now, a month from now, a year from now, when I kick the bucket, he's going to make it right. He sees He sees who we are, and he sees our frustrations and our laments. He hears our prayers, and they're not falling on deaf ears. He's going to set things right. He's going to make things right. Jesus said this. He said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" You know, he gave us this perspective change. Listen, he's saying, listen, it doesn't matter what you gain here on the earth. It's pointless. It's meaningless. Remember we talked about Job last week, you know? Job said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave it," you know? I've heard it said, you know, that you never see a hearse carrying a U-Haul behind it, a trailer. You can't take it with you. It's gone. It's meaningless. You know, anything that you can gain here in this world means nothing. So we've got to keep that eternal perspective, that what you're gaining is nothing here on the earth, perhaps, but you're storing for yourself treasures in heaven. You're storing up a glory that is awaiting you. Peter also wrote us this same warning so that it should not be a surprise when we see this imbalance in life, this injustice for a temporary season. And he wrote here in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3, he wrote and he said, "Above all, you must," again, "understand." This is all about understanding. It is so easy to misunderstand God when you don't see his justice here and now when you want it. But he is just. He is holy, he is righteous, but he is patient. He actually wants those people who are wicked and prospering to truly prosper spiritually. He wants them to come to know him and to experience his salvation. You know, and that's what creates this imbalance. But he said, "You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming?'" You see, that's in quotes, so I can't air quote with one hand, but you know, here, I'll quote this one, then that one. There, I feel better now. They'll say, "Where is this coming that he has promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on just as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly." It was no different in the days of Noah, right? You know, they were scoffing until the day that they felt their first raindrop. Then they came to their senses. They understood Noah's onto something here. You know, can you imagine being Noah? While people were screaming and clawing at the ark, wanting to be saved. But it was too late. The Lord's mind had already been made up. Don't wait. We got to put off this lie and this falsehood and this deceit that I'll get my life right later. I'll start attending church and I'll get my life straight later in life, you know. There may not be a later. There may not be a later in life. None of us are promised tomorrow. But in verse 8, he goes on, he says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, this one thing. Don't forget it. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." He's eternal. He lives outside of the constraints of time and space, and that just riles me up in my geeky sci-fi, you know. It's a reality. It's not just sci-fi. Okay, anyways. In verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord..." See, we love to quote that first part, but we miss... This is a but. This is a continuation of the exact same sentence, exact same idea. Got to keep the scriptures in context. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." When does a thief come? When you least expect him. If you expected him, he wouldn't be thieving anything. He waits till the middle of the night, till you're asleep, or till you're away on vacation, you know. He prowls and waits for the right time to pounce. Guess what? That's what our enemy does with us too. He waits for just the right time to pounce and to destroy you. The Lord will come when you least expect him. And that's why pretty much when somebody lists a date and time, you can forget about it, because he's coming when you least expect him, like a thief. It says the heavens will be destroyed with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We got a role to play in the end times. Amen? We got some people to reach. We got some work to do, church. Let's speed its coming. Wow. It says, it continues on here. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So we have this promise of God that it's going to be worth it. There is coming a day when the old order of things pass away and we enter into the new world order where there is no death, there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no crying. All these things pass away. There is coming a day when righteousness will fully dwell and the promises of God will be fully realized, fully experienced. And since we know this is true, then that should give us a whole new perspective on the injustices of life. Instead of becoming embittered towards such people, we should become heartbroken for them. God is patiently waiting for them to come to their senses. And guess who he has sent to help lead them to their senses? Us. Us. We're the body of Christ. The hands and feet. We're the mouthpiece. We are the ones. God is patiently waiting for them. Their prosperity is evidence of God's grace and mercy. It's not of their own righteousness. Jesus said here, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So praise God when you got a little bit. He's not expecting much of you. I'm sorry, another way of looking at that, right? Jesus just didn't want to put it in those words. But think about that. People who have much here on the earth and what they choose to do with it, much more is required. It's just a principle in the kingdom of God. Knowing that much more will be required of them before the Lord should be even more of a motive for us to try to reach them with the good news of the gospel that can bring the salvation and the prosperity of their souls. That they might come to the Lord and think about what they could do for the kingdom of God if they've got a lot. I mean, just being realistic here, you know, could do a lot for the kingdom of God. Powerful. So for us, we should keep a healthy perspective toward the temporary troubles that we face in this world. Even as Peter asked, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy, godly lives. Holy just means set apart. You're living for God, not for yourself, not for somebody else. You're living your life for Christ. That's what holy means, is being set apart for him. So we ought to look forward to the day of God when he sets things straight, when he makes all things right. That's how we ought to respond whenever we face these frustrating seasons of life. Enter into his presence and look forward to that day. Though we may suffer for a little while, we're going to rejoice forever, free from suffering. The wicked may prosper for a little while here, we're going to prosper for all eternity. Though life may not be fair here for a little while, God will set all things right forever. Forever. We can't even begin to imagine that. Forever. You want to talk about it being worth it? Giving up anything here for a season, laying down your life for a season, it's nothing in comparison with eternity. When Christ picks up your life, gives you a new name, dresses you and clothes you in white. I mean, think about it. Whew. Wow. All of a sudden, all those, you thought those seasons were never going to end here on this earth. You thought you were going to suffer forever. All of a sudden, that seems like a fleeting moment. You know, I know my wife, Becky, has talked about childbirth in that way, you know. Man, when you know that the day's coming, it's dreadful, it's horrible. But the minute you're holding that baby, You forget about all that pain, all that suffering, all those whiny, lamenting moments. It's all worth it, you know? Wow. We read here also, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter, and this is from the Message version of the Bible. He said, when God, who's the best shepherd of all, comes out in the open with his rule, he'll see that what you've done right, and he will commend you lavishly. Can you imagine? You're standing before Christ, as well as those wicked people, and you're lavishly blessed for the right way that you lived. What an honor. Wow. He goes on, he says, but all of you, leaders and followers alike, you're to be down to earth with each other, because God has had it with the proud, but he takes delight in just plain people. So be content with who you are. That's a huge statement right there. We love to compare ourselves to people. Be content with who you are, and don't put on the airs. God's strong hand is on you, and he will promote you at just the right time. Live carefree before God, because he's most careful with you. Wow. At just the right time, God's going to prosper you. He's going to promote you. He's going to set all things straight. If we don't lose heart and we just keep on keeping on, right? God sees every sacrifice we make, every move of integrity that we live. Integrity, that's what you do when no one's looking. No one knows it but you and God. That's integrity. Do you do the right thing? God sees it. He will honor it. At just the right time, the truth will be revealed. Justice will be administered. Promotion will be given. Right? So rest assured that choosing to live a godly life, walking in the path of God's word, it is not done in vain. Nothing that you sacrifice for the sake of Christ will ever be overlooked or belittled in the eyes of God. Rather, it will be magnified. It will be made known to all people, all of heaven and earth, and you'll be rewarded for it. Even as the Proverbs remind us here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And that's the key. You may feel like you're slipping here in the earth. You may feel like you're not getting ahead here in the earth. But in the spiritual realms, you're gaining huge, huge momentum. You're growing stronger, and you're going to move faster and better through life. You walk securely. It says, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And I'm telling you, that's why when the reality exists, I believe, that when you make the simplest mistake, it becomes amplified and you get smacked down for it. Because it keeps us walking in integrity. It keeps us walking in honesty, so that if anybody brings a false accusation against you, people laugh at them because they know who you are. They know the life you live. You live a life of integrity. You know, and Proverbs writes it this way, but I love the way that John Mellencamp actually sang it. And he said, an honest man's pillow is his peace of mind. So suck it up, tough it out, and be the best you can. I love that. An honest man's pillow is his peace of mind. You can lay your head at night without guilt, without wondering if you're going to get found out, without wondering if that lie is going to catch up with you or that person's going to learn what you did, you know, to them that they think was somebody else. You can just have peace of mind. When you talk to somebody, you don't have to worry about what you said to the other person, the other person, the other person, or try to keep your lies straight is what I'm saying. You don't have to keep your lies straight because you walk in integrity. You walk in truth. You don't have to worry. It is such peace of mind. And it will be found out. It will be realized. And it will be blessed in the end. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. So don't give up doing good. And don't compare yourself to other people, because that's not what God's ever going to do. He's never going to compare yourself to other people. But when we choose to do this, when we compare ourselves to other people, it causes bitterness to take root inside of us. Instead, we need to live our lives in the audience of one, Jesus Christ. He is the only one whom you're going to stand before and give an account to your life. He's the only judge and jury who you are going to stand before. So honor him in all your hard work and with everything you've got, because your reward is coming. It's a promise of God. A promise of God. We're closing here on this. In Colossians, Paul wrote, whatever you do, whatever you do, okay, whatever it is, whether you're washing dishes at home or doing laundry or you're out in the workplace, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. There's no favoritism before God. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Do it with integrity, because you're serving Jesus. No matter what it is that you do in life, you're doing it for Jesus, because he's going to reward you for that hard work. God, he's rooting for us to be rooted in him. It's a cool little prophetic word God gave me last night. God is rooting for you to be rooted in him. His desire is that we endure each and every season, drawing ever closer to him. That is why we will endure frustrating seasons where justice seems fleeting and it feels like we're living our life of integrity for no point, for no reason. However, if we cling to God's word and his promises and we choose to just brush off those feelings, when envy starts to come into your heart and bitterness in your spirit, just brush them off. Just shake them off. Because you know God sees your life of integrity, and you know you can stand proudly before him with nothing to hide, no shame, no guilt, and you're going to be rewarded for that life. God is rooting for us to be rooted in him. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him alone. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. So let's choose in every season to praise God who is faithful, to be rooted in him. Because we will experience difficult seasons of life. That tree rooted in Christ, it experienced the scorching heat of the sun. It experienced the seasons of drought and dryness, but it never failed to bear fruit because its roots symbolically are rooted in Christ. If I got the worship team come forward, we're going to enter into worship here. And I just want to encourage you, as we exalt the name of Jesus and as we turn to him, hand over those frustrations. I know that there are many of us here who are experiencing this frustration in one way or another. And so I just want to encourage you just to hand those things over to him and to focus your attention on him, to ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that your life would be saturated with his presence, so that wherever you go, that bitter root does not take place. Whenever you see the wicked prospering, instead of becoming like, God, this ain't right, becoming like, God, help me to save them. Help me, God, in some way to lead them to their senses. Because we know that God is always faithful. No matter what rises up against us, no matter what comes against us, God's faithful. And he will reward us in the end. He will make all things right. He will set all things straight. So we need to fear nothing in life, nothing before the Lord. Amen.